Okay. Okay. All right, can you hear me? Can you hear me? What time do you start? 3:30?
29 by that clock.
Okay. Okay. Oh, good. All right, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you guys hear me? Okay, this is good. So today we'll talk about caching. And I'll tell you guys a story, and then we'll go through caching in detail. So once upon a time, in a land far, far away, called Whoville, there was a little who was working on a paper. And that who would always go to Clark Library. And to make a long trek to Clark Library, would grab a book from Clark Library, and then would walk all the way back. And so every time that who needed to look up something, they would go all the way to the library, grab a book, and come all the way back. Because this who was really smart, while she was working on her paper about computer science, poetry, and craziness, she decided, well, wouldn't it be smart if I just had a little bookshelf here so I didn't have to go all the way to the library? And in each slot in the bookshelf, I would put something for computer science, something for poetry, and something for craziness. So I would go to the library, I'd copy some pages from the book I'm interested in, and then I would copy it. It's a computer science book into the computer science slot. If it's a book on poetry, into the poetry spot. And if it's a book on craziness, into the craziness spot. And so that way I could go to the bookshelf instead of all the way to the library. And so this is the kind of fundamental principle of caching. And so it's really just this kind of simple. And so there are kind of two key ideas with caching. The first idea is this notion of temporal locality. So temporal locality says, given that I've accessed something in a particular time, I'm likely to access it again in the future. And so that's the kind of simple idea with temporal locality. So if I'm reading from one book at one period in time, then later while I'm working on my paper, I might be looking at another book. And then there's this notion of spatial locality. And so spatial locality is the idea that if I access something, data that's in one particular location, I'll access data in an adjacent location pretty similarly. So you can imagine it as pages in this book. And so that's the key idea. And so let's look at some example code here that's kind of set. So this goes through and it computes the mean of all the values in a particular array. So we have an array of some fixed length containing some values. And we have this values pointer that's pointing to this double array. And so there's temporal locality. So if we look at the machine code, we'll have a series of instructions in the machine code. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe this is jump back up to the beginning. And so we have temporal locality in the machine code in that since we accessed instruction 1 at cycle 1, 4 cycles later we might access that instruction again. We also have spatial locality in that if we access instruction 1, it's likely that we'll access instruction 2 and instruction 3 and instruction 4. And so there's this notion of adjacency. In the code itself, particularly in the data memory, we have this total variable here, and we access that total variable at every iteration. So it's temporally has some temporal locality, and also this variable I. So we have temporal locality associated with total I, and also this length variable. And we have spatial locality when we consider the array in memory, and that it might be stored here, A, B, C, and so on. And they're located in the same kind of space. So we have this notion of spatial locality. And so similarly to our simple example from before, we can have this notion of a cache. So in this case, you can think of this as a bookshelf. And here's our massive library. And so each of these entries in our bookshelf, we want to have some spots for sticking values that we take from our library into our cache, into our bookshelf. And in particular, one of the design decisions we can make is how big each block in the cache is going to be. And so you can think of this from the library example as the number of pages in the book. And so here, this book has two pages, 0 and 1. And this is going to be the convention that we use for memory as well. And so when we bring things into our cache, we're going to bring them in sets like this. And so this is going to be a 2-byte size block. Sorry, 2-byte size block. And so as we start to think about how we design this cache, we need to start thinking about, well, if we have some address that we want to read, in this case, how would we map that address to locations in memory? And so one of the simplest approaches that we can do is we can have an index that's assigned for each of these locations, 0, 1, 0, 2, 1, 1, and so on. And since it's 2 bytes, we can also have an offset here, 0 and 1. And if we look at our addresses, we notice there's this kind of really nice property in that if we look at the second bit, last 2 bits here, we can use those for doing our index mapping. So if you notice, these addresses share the same 2 bits here. And so we can say they map to index 0. And that's the same thing for this address as well. And the same thing for this address. And then we can use the last bit here. Note if it's 0, it corresponds to this byte, and if it's 1, it corresponds to this byte. And so we can use that last bit here to distinguish which byte we're actually considering. So we can use the first bit of our address here to index into our blocks, and then the second bit to pick our index for each of our cache locations. So if we think about this example from the example of the book, with a computer science book, you can think of that those set bits as the genre of book, and the second set of bits as the index or offset into your block, the page in your book. And so as we kind of think about this, let's look at another example. So for this one, 0, 1, it would be in index 1, which would be this index here. And so that would mean that these two blocks, these two books, map to this central index here. So it would be this index and this one, because the set bits that we have here match. And so that's going to be our convention for deciding which set each block of memory addresses gets mapped to. And if we look at this, we'll notice that for all our memory, we'll have multiple blocks in memory mapping to single locations in the cache. So this is the notion of a direct mapped cache. So the thing to notice about this is that memory is really large, super large, and our cache is a lot smaller, so we're going to have these shared locations. And so all the sections in green map to that top section. So you can think of these as all books in the computer science genre, and we can only hold one of those at a particular time. And the same thing for the purple section and the light purple section. So when we're reading this cache, we have some disadvantages in that we don't know if this value here, 00, is actually valid or not, if this memory address is valid or not. So we need to accommodate for that by having a valid bit that will stick in our cache. And so whenever we actually put something on that bookshelf, we'll set that valid bit. So we'll say, OK, if we've loaded something from memory into the cache, we'll set our valid bit, which is going to be 1. And so this will help us distinguish between whether or not our cache is empty or actually updated and values in memory. And so here, for this memory address, if we look at it, 011, it actually corresponds to this memory address in memory and responds to this value B. But here in our cache value, it's actually 0. So we need this kind of extra bit that gets set. You can think of it as a sticker on that bookshelf that gets set if we pull something in from memory. So any questions on this so far? Okay. And so after we fetch a particular value from memory, one of the key things to notice here is that we're going to pull in, even though we're looking at one address, this address, we're going to pull in the entire block into our cache. And so we're going to pull in both A and B, and then we're going to set our value bit. But as you've noticed before, right, even though we know whether or not the value in memory is actually valid or not, we don't actually know which one of the blocks it actually corresponds to. And so in this case, we need a tag bit to help us distinguish between the sets. So if we look here, both of these indices would map to that block. And so 01 here, 01 here maps to this block. And also, this one maps to that block as well. And so what we need to do is we need to have some extra information to determine which set, which grouping, the address originally came from. And so that would be this extra tag bit here. And so by looking at the tag, the index, and the valid bit, we can determine what's in our cache and actually pull that value. And so here's kind of our end results. So this is pretty straightforward. So any questions on this? So the way you think of the tag or the sets is you can think of it as grouping of books. Tags are specific identifiers for books. And offsets is the kind of the pages in your book that you're kind of thinking about. So let's look at this read operation happening here. So for this read, we have some memory address. And in this case, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. So our block size is 4. And so how many bits do we need to represent this block size? How many bits of our memory do we need to reserve? Okay. So in this case, we need 2 to the 2, which is 4. So we need 2 bits of memory. We need to look at 2 bits of that address, location 0, 0, location 0, 1, location 1, 0, and location 1, 1. And so this will give us the values for determining our offset. And for our index, there are 8 values, all the way through 8. And so how many bits would we need to uniquely address each of the indices?
2, 3.
3, yeah. So 3 bits, 0, 0, all the way to 1, 1, 1. And then the remaining bits just get added on to our tag. And so when we're looking, indexing into this cache, we simply go to the index. In this case, it's going to be index 4. So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And we look at our tag bits. If they match, great. That means we have a hit. That means the data that's available to for us is in this particular block here. And then we can look at our offset. And so 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. And we realize that based on our offset value, this is the address of interest, B6. And so we can easily represent hits by just looking at the valid bit and the tag bit. So if the tag bit, after we go to the index, we can have kind of a reverse mux here, which is called a demux, that activates each of these banks. And we use the index to activate a particular bank. And then we get the tag index off that shared line. And we can check the tag index with the tag in our address. And if they match and the bit is valid, then we have a cache hit. Similarly, once we have a cache hit, we can simply look at the offset. So each of these will have its own line that goes through. And then we can look at the offset to pick out which of these bytes we would actually read as our data. So in this case, it's going to be 00, 01, 10, 11. And so our valid byte here would be B6, 11. Comes down the line, and this would be B6. Yep.
So if the tag value is different from the one in our address, that means that a different piece of memory was written.
Yes, exactly. So you can think about the tag value as saying, if the bit is valid, it means that we pulled something in from memory, like pulling a computer science book from the library. And we look at the tag, it's like, this is a computer science book, but it's a wrong book. Okay. So as you kind of visualize these memory addresses, you can kind of see this hierarchy that gets constructed. And so now let's think about this as an exercise. So here's an example of a bunch of different caches. Here is a 2-byte cache with 4 sets. And so you might say, well, what does it mean? Like, how do you pick these sizes, like the byte block sizes and the number of sets? And what is the trade-off that you get for making different decisions about the sets or the block sizes? So this is a good question. So if you think about it, the larger the block size is, the more you can take advantage of spatial locality. So if you imagine an array stored in memory and you have a very large block size, when you bring in that block size to your cache, if you're bringing in a large chunk, that means for multiple accesses that will be in your cache. While if you're accessing particular parts of that array, so you're accessing index 1, 2, or 1, 5, and 10, if you have a lot of sets, then you can bring in index 1, 5, and 10, and those will always be in your cache because you can take advantage of temporal locality. And it turns out for fixed cache sizes, so in this case you have eight bytes, so 2 times 4, because there are 4 sets here and they're size 2, so it's 8. And here you have 2 sets of size 4, which is 8. So they're the same size, but they take advantage of spatial and temporal locality a little differently. So if you have a fixed size cache, the kind of rule of thumb is, as you increase the block size, you get better temporal locality, or better spatial locality, sorry. And as you increase your set size, you get better temporal locality. And for a fixed size cache, you have this trade-off, because as you increase your block size, you reduce the number of sets that you have available, and as you increase your set size, you reduce your overall block size. Or if you have a lot of money to spend on your cache and you can afford the transistors on chip, then you can simply make cache that is twice as big or even larger. And in this case, there are 2-byte blocks and there are 8 sets. Whoops. There are 2-byte blocks and there are 8 sets. And so this is a size 16 cache. So as we think about this, I'll pass these out actually because we'll do this exercise later. Just take one and pass it back. Whoops. Take tests. Yeah, there we go. As we think about this exercise, what would be the values for the offset bits, the index bits, and the tag bits for these 3 caches? Any ideas? So let's look at the first 2. How many bits do we need to uniquely address each of those blocks? So just work in groups of 2 for these, so with your neighbor. So we'll use those later. So how many bytes would we need for addressing the blocks in the first example? 1, yep, exactly. Because there are only 2 of them. And so we only need 1 byte for the offset. And so what about the index bits? How many index bits do we need for this example? Well, I guess we could first the index in the first 2 blocks for the 4 set and 8 set blocks. Not clear. How many index bits do we need? Um, No.
The first one?
For this one and this one. Yep, that's right. So we need 3 for 8 sets, and for 2, that's right. And then for the last one, where there are 2 sets, we only need 1 in this case. So 2 bytes for the index for our 8 set, our 4 set block. For our 2 set block, we only need 1 byte, and for our 8 set block, we need 3 bytes. And then what about the tag? So the tag is whatever is left over. So I'll just kind of scroll down to this because I've gone through it. And so for the tag bits, how many tag bits do we need for the first one?
When you said block, do you mean like the lines that add in the book?
So blocks are these values here in the cache. So how we've decided to group our memory. So how many bits do we need for the tag? So remember, the tag is whatever is left over, right? So here we have 1, 2, and our tag bit's going to be 3 here. So this would be 3 bits, 0, 0, 0, 1. For this one, our tag's going to be 2, so whatever is left over. And for our last one, it's going to be 3. And so, question? Yeah.
When you say whatever's left over, what do you mean?
So, in order to index into the block, we need 2 things.
Yeah.
The first thing that we need is our index and the offset. And so the remaining bytes tell us what set it came from. So in terms of the computer science book example, right, where we take 2 books from computer science and we stick it in a particular set, the remaining bytes in that grouping tell us what, tell us exactly what.
Remaining bytes out of what, the total number of digits.
Yes, of the total number of parts of the address here.
Bytes or bits?
Bits, sorry. Remaining number of bits.
Because we have to be in terms of bytes, and so if we don't use the whole byte.
No, not if we don't use the whole. If we don't include the tag, then we have this ambiguity. So if we only look at the index and the offset, then there are 2 things that could have mapped to that memory location, and we don't know where it came from to start off with. So if we look at this example here, so if we look at just the, in this case, our set bits were 2 because we have 4. If we only look at the set bits for this byte, for example, byte 11, we won't know whether or not the address in our memory came from this location or from this location. From this location or from this location. And so that's the challenge. And so the tag bits help us disambiguate those sets. So you can think about it as this kind of scaling, like this grouping that happens. So offset is for adjacent blocks, then sets is your next grouping, and then tags distinguish those groupings.
Why there is that ambiguity.
Yeah, so I'll show you an example.
Because we're talking about direct math, right?
Yes. But so the way to think about it is this way. If your cache size was exactly the size of your memory, then you'd have a unique address for every location in your cache to every location in your memory.
Yeah.
But because it's smaller,
yeah,
and you want to be able to have every entry in your cache mapped to an entry in memory, you need to come up with some way of consolidating it. And so you create these groupings of memories, and those groupings of memories get mapped to a particular location. So let's look at a 3-byte example. So here's a 3-bit address, very simple. So if we look at this address, notice these 2 have the same first values, so that could be our first group. Then this is our second group that has the same values. And this is our third group that has the same set of values, right? Same here. So you can think of these as classes of your address. So if we want to design something that could save space, right, we could say, okay, these first ones would map to a particular set, so they would map to this first entry in your cache. here. And then this address would map to the second one, and so on. And so we'd have this kind of direct map cache that has unique values for each of these, and we could just use the offset bits to distinguish them. So that's your the first approach.
So tags what's left
in the tag is what's left. So in this case, like if we had sets that looked like this, that were smaller. So this bit's gonna be our set bit. And so notice the grouping is now these two are grouped together, 0, 0, 0, 0, and these two are grouped together, 1, 1, and 1, 1. And so these two would map to this location, and this would map to the third location, to the second location. And how would we decide which value do we bring into memory? We would look at the last, this is just so hard to touch. We would look at the last bit here. So here, if you look at these addresses, 00 and 00, the last bit, these bits, are different for those two. And so that's what the tag lets us do. So once we've taken those and put them in memory, if we look at the tag value, we can tell which grouping it came from.
So with the first, values, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, that's four different values, so you need 2 bits to store that, right? 2 bits or 4 values.
Are you proposing, so when you say 4 values, which 4 values are you referring to?
So the first 2 bits.
Yes.
The 3-bit value.
Yes.
So there's 4 different possibilities, right?
Yes, so you need 2 bits to store all those.
So I guess I don't understand how you save space, because it feels like you would need to store the entire memory address.
If you have anything less than 3 bits, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay, so like, let's say our memory address is 3 bits long.
Okay.
So there's 8 possible values then.
If you only do sets. So there are 8 possible values, yes. 8 possible memory values.
So ignoring caching, just in the,
yes.
If you have memory, there's 8 possible addresses.
Yes.
So if you're trying to like store a particular memory address.
You're not trying to store memory addresses.
Okay.
You're trying to store values in memory that map to that address.
Okay.
And those values in memory are bytes long.
Right.
Okay. So the cache mapping, the tag index mapping, is for determining where in your cache that memory would have been stuck. So if you have, in the book example for the library, you have all these books in the library, all of them are on computer science, but your shelf has a very small space. So you need some way of organizing that shelf. So you say all the books for computer science will go in this slot, all the books for poetry will go here, and all books for craziness will go here. And so, when you pull a book out of the library, you stick it in that spot, and then you go, oh, how do I know the book in this spot is the actual book I want? First, instead of going through the whole bookshelf, you look for the spot, so that's your index. And then you look for the tag, so that's the type of book, the specific version or title of your book. And then those two match, that's the book you're interested in. And then you can use the index bit to flip to the right page in the book that you need to go to. So the choice is how we make this, how we break up our sets and blocks. And so depending on how we break up our sets and blocks will affect how what parts of the mapping go where. And we'll see this in more detail later. Any other questions? And so we went through here. And so there's this kind of formulaic way of looking at calculating the set size and the number of bits that we need. So we have two decision parameters. Given some memory address of size m from 0 to m minus 1, we can make decisions about how many sets we have in our cache and how many blocks we have in our cache. And this will inform the number of bits from the memory address that we need to use. So if our set size is S, then we need 2 to the little s bits. So we need little s bits to be able to uniquely get a value for each of those sets. Or you can think of it as log base 2 of s for calculating your set value, number of set bits. The same thing for your block size. So given some block size b, we need 2 to the b, where b is the number of bits that you're going to use in your address in order to map each block uniquely. Or you could simply calculate log base 2 of b to get the number of bits, offset bits. And then your tag is just going to be your set bits plus your byte bits, and you're going to subtract that from your memory bits, so whatever is left over. And the size of the cache is going to be the number of blocks that you have times the number of sets. So any questions on this? Okay.
Wait, can you say that again? The size of your cache is what?
The size of your cache is the number of blocks that you have times the number of sets. So from the book example, like you can think of the size of your block as having the number of slots in your bookshelf times the size of the books that you can pull in. And so let's go through this kind of example here. So we have a cache here with some memory address. And so it has 2-byte blocks. That means each of these block values are going to be 2 bytes long. And there are 4 sets. And so we need 2 bits to uniquely represent each set. 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, and 1, 1. And so as we think about this, as we go through our memory accesses and we're pulling in stuff from memory, for our first address, 0, 0, the result is going to be a miss. Because as we go to our cache, we look at it, the bookshelf is empty, the valid bit is 0, and so it's not in our cache, so this is going to be what's called a cache miss. It means that we have to go all the way to memory to pull in the value. And so for the block sizes, this already, we already discussed that. So let's do that. So for the first one, it's going to be a cache miss. And so we pull in that and that value for memory. It's a cache miss. And so we pull in the book that's associated with it, or the block that's associated with it. So we're going to pull in both values 0, 0 and 0, 1. And so this is important to note. And so as we pull in 0, 1 and 0, 0, the next time we go and we look at address 0, 0, 1. And so this is going to be in set 0, 0. And it's the tag matches. So we have a cache hit, which is great. And we know which one based on the offset bit. So this is going to be a cache hit, which is great, because now you can kind of see how the block sizes will take advantage of temporal locality. So if the block size is larger, as you access more consecutive addresses because you brought it in on your first cache miss, it would be much easier to not get misses later. And so the second one, go down, cache hit. And so the second address, 63, is going to be at index 0, 1, which is going to be here. And so at index 0, 1, the valid bit's 0. Therefore, it's going to be a cache miss. So we have to reach out to memory, and we'll pull in here address 62 and address 63. So something that might be confusing is that it said, well, why did we pull in address 63 and 64. Well, if we look here, how we've kind of structured our blocks is that we're going to pull in the values that are offset 0 and 1. And so the value for this binary number with 0 is going to be 62, and the value with 1 is going to be 63. So when we pull it in from memory, we're going to pull in memory locations 62 and memory locations 63. And so initially, this is going to be a cache miss. And so we pull that into memory. And then we're at our second access, which is going to be 0, 0 based on the set bits, which corresponds to this block. And so we'll check, whoops. And so we'll check our index 0, 0. And so when we check our index 0, 0, we'll look at our tag bits. And if the tag bits match, it means it's a cache hit. But in this case, the tag bits don't match, which means it's coming from a separate set. And so this is going to be a cache miss. And we're going to reach out to memory. And we're going to pull in 60 and 61. into this spot. And so then we go to 62. 62 is going to be at index 0, 1, which is here. And then we look at our tag. They match. Great. So that means that that block is in memory, and it's going to be at index 0, so it's going to be this first one here. And so this is going to be a cache hit. And so then we look at the third one, and as we look at the third one, it's going to be at 0, 0. And so that's here. We look at the tags. It didn't match. So it's going to be a cache miss. And so we're going to have to replace this value here in memory with 001 and 002, or x01, x02. So the thing to note here is that we had a conflict miss. We'll talk about what conflict misses are later. Even though there was free space in the memory, so we're still replacing something at this index, even though there are free slots in our bookshelf. And so this would be a cache miss. We'd replace it. And then we would access 010. The valid bit's going to be 0. And so this is going to be a cache miss. And so we're going to bring that value into memory. And in particular, we're going to bring in 64 and 65. OK. So here's our final result with the access pattern. Yeah?
The last highlighted column, 0s and 1s.
Yes.
Is that our offset?
So yes.
Box,
yes. And so you notice that we had this kind of conflict miss here, which is where we pulled in some value from memory, and we had to replace it from before, particularly this one. So why don't you guys go ahead and try this exercise, which is the one that's been passed out. So go ahead and first try to calculate the number of tag offsets and index bits. Do you need one? You can share. So we'll spend 5 minutes on this, and then we'll go over it. As a first step, try to calculate how many bits are in the tag, index, and offset.
Index per set between these two. Between two.
We have 4 byte blocks and 2 bytes.
So I don't think that matters.
I think that
probably
was
it does matter.
Yeah, you store 4 bytes.
These two, and these two, and our tag.
So anybody want to volunteer how many tag, index, and offset bits? Anybody has an answer for that? Huh? And how many tag bits? Yep. And it's 8, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'll just scroll up with your solution.
And we would bring in 63. So we would bring in.
Those bits are wrong, so subtract.
Yeah. 59.
Subtract 3, yeah, because 0, 2, 0, 1, 2, 3.
So, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, so 60, 61, 62, 63, yeah, there we go.
Okay.
And then we're looking for 61, so we're looking for 62, so we'll get
Is it always put up like that?
And then we'll go to right hand again.
But it's always on.
So I'll go back to 0 to 1. 1, 2, 3. So this is a miss. And it goes back to. Oh no, it doesn't go back to that. It goes to a new one.
Oh yeah, 64.
No, this one's a miss, but it doesn't overwrite that one.
Oh, you're right.
Like, that's what it's like. So it says the balance.
Wow.
And you wrote it, like, this is what I just need.
Yeah. So then we'll get valid here.
So then if you look up,
have,
so you like, to figure out 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0,
0, 0, 0, 0,
0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0,
0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 5, 6, 6, 7. So this guy is fine while he has the 0. So these can go
forward.
Hey, guys, then. Okay, 2 minutes. Do we need more time or are we good?
More time.
Okay. 2 minutes more? Let's go over it. And so, because there are four sets, 2 of 2 is 4, 2 squared is 4, or log base 2 of 4 is 2. So we're going to have 2 bits that are going to be dedicated to our sets. And our block size is 4. So 2 of 2 is 4, same logic. So we're going to have 2 bits that are going to be dedicated to uniquely identifying each thing in our block. And the tag bits is going to be whatever is left over. So 8 minus 2 plus 2 is going to be 4. And so let's go through these array axes. So the first one's definitely going to be a miss. The valid bit's going to start off at 0 for all of these because we haven't loaded anything from memory. And so we load our first one. This is a miss. And our tag that we're going to bring in is going to be 0, 0, 0. And our values that we're going to bring in are going to be mem 0, 0, and mem 0, 1. And mem 1, 0, and mem 1, 1. Does everybody see why? This is the degree of freedom that we have for this address. So these are all the possible values. 1, 1. And so, first we're going to bring in mem 0 through mem 3, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, and 1, 1. And so we have a cache miss. And then we're going to access 1. So we look, it's going to be in set 0, valid bits 1, great. Tag matches, that means it's going to be a cache hit. And so we need to decide where in the block we look. And it's 0, 1, so we're going to look at our second value. And so that's going to be a cache hit. And so then we look at our other one. And so our index is going to be, our set's going to be 0, 0 here, which is going to correspond here. And we look at our tag. Oh, tag doesn't match, so this is a cache miss. And we're going to replace this index with our new value. And what's going to come in here? It's going to be 60, 61, 62, and 63. That's just going to get added here into this location. because of our byte ranges here. So 0, 0 would be equivalent to 60, 0, 1 is 61, 1, 0 here would be 62, and 1, 1 would be 63. So this would be a cache miss. And so we bring in our new address and update the tags and leave the valid bit as 1. And then for the next one, this is going to be in index 0. So that's going to be a cache hit. We notice the tag matches and the index matches, so it's a cache hit. And so then we're going to look at the last value in the block here, which is 1. And so that's going to be one of these in here. And so this is going to be a cache hit. Same thing. Index 0, 0 is going to map here. The tag's going to match. And we're going to have 1, 0 as our value. And so we know it's a cache hit because the tag and index is matched, and we know exactly where to go based on the offset. So this is going to be a hit too. I'll scroll down here. So what about the next one? Is it a cache hit or miss?
Okay.
How do you know what memory from what address it is to access from memory? So I think your question is, how did you know to do 60 and 63? So if you look here, for this set, right? When we look at the tag, so the tag bit says that's going to be we want all of the data that have the starting tag. And then we look at the index. So this is going to be the index value here afterwards. So we want all of the data that matches this tag and this index star star. So that would include 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, which happens to be 60. 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 61. 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 62. And I'm just going to do this match up here, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 63. So all of our block is going to contain all of these addresses, everything after it. So do you see the grouping, the tag, and the index, and then every other byte grouping below gets pulled up into that location?
So offset?
Yes, so the offset determines the block size. So this value here is the offset. Do you see? So here, this address section here, this says everything in this block has the address 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. It says all the data in that memory block starts with that prefix. This is your tag and this is your index. So every address starting with 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, every address and all the memory values for that address are stored in that block. And then we say, okay, this address has 2 more digits afterwards, 0, 0. And so we can use those 2 digits to index into that block. And so if it's at 0, 0, it's gonna be the first one in the block, and if it's at 1, 1, it's gonna be the last one in the block. And then if we look at the collection, we see that the whole address is represented by the tag set and an offset.
So it's always every possible combination of however many offset bytes.
Yes. Yes, and that's why the offset bits dictate the size of the block. Because if you choose a block size that is, you can do it in reverse. If you choose 2 bits for your offset, it means that you need to have a block size that's 4 bytes. So you pull in all 4 blocks. Or if you have a block size, if you want to pull in 4 blocks, so you get temporal locality for those 4 blocks, then you need to have a offset size that's 2 bits. Where were we? We were here, right? Or we were here. Here. For this one, it's going to be a cache hit. And this one, we're going to have a cache miss because it's at index 0 and our tag is 0, 0. So this is a cache miss, and so we're going to bring in our values. And so what values will we bring in here? what memory addresses? Any ideas? Yep, that's right. So we pull in 0, whoops, into this location. We're going to pull in 0, 0 through 0, 3. 0, 0, so 0, 3. And so this is going to be a miss. And we're going to pull in 0, 0 through 0, 3. And then we look at the other one. It's going to be at index 1. And then our tag value is going to be 0, 1. And so we look at our value bit. It's a miss, so we're going to bring it in anyways. So we're going to copy in our tag value, and then we're going to bring in everything here that's associated. So what's the values? What are the values that we're going to bring in here?
67.
67. Yeah. Okay. Great. So as we look at this kind of pattern, we still have these conflict misses. We still had to replace this memory location. And so the idea was, even though we had this cache, we have these open spaces, and this we're not kind of using them very well. Think about it from the book example. Went to the library, had a computer science book, only had one slot to put it in. What if we had multiple bookshelves, where when you grab a book, you're going to put it in your bookshelf. If that slot's full, you can pop over and drop it in another slot on this, in a bookshelf with a similar structure. And so that's the idea of associativity. And so if you think about it from the example from the previous miss, right, we had to replace those values where we had conflict misses. But if instead we had something that, another kind of section that we could drop the memory address in, we could decrease those conflict misses drastically.
So would that be helpful in situations where, like, say you had two variables that you were accessing often, but it just so happened that their memory addresses were going to the same cache location?
Yes.
Now we can cache them both.
Exactly. So you can drop it into both locations. So now the question is, well, how, if you're dropping it in both locations and they share the same index and offset, how do you distinguish them? So any ideas? How would you distinguish those two addresses? What's going to be different? Remember from the direct map example, right? What was the distinguishing factor?
The offset.
The offset would tell us where in the grouping it is, but it wouldn't tell us if we had a computer science book and we put it in our computer science bookshelf. The tag, exactly. So we can look at the tag, and we look at the tag in bookshelf 1, and we look at the tag in bookshelf 2, and then we pick the bookshelf where the tag matches. And so we need some terminology here. So the first terminology is that we still have this notion of sets. So this is a two-set cache, and the block size is block size 2. And so kind of just highlight that. And so the number of set bits is still going to be, in this case, 1. 2 to the s is 2, and so s is going to be 1. And the same thing for blocks. So here we're going to have 1 bit for the sets, 1 bit for the blocks, and the remaining bits we'll give to the tag. And for each of these here, we're going to call those ways. And so we'll have a 0-way and 1-way cache. You think of these as multiple bookshelves in that structure. So let's look at an example here. So say if we have this address is 8 bits long, and we have two sets. In this case, we're going to need log base 2 of 2, which is going to be 1 set, or 2 to the 1 would be 2. And so our set bits is going to be 1, and that will let us address the sets in both values. And our block size, the number of bits for our block size is also going to be 1, so 2 to the 1 is 2. And so we only need 1 bit, and so for our remaining bit, it's going to be 8 minus 1 plus 1, which is going to give us 6. So notice that the number of bits that we selected for our tag and offset don't change. The only thing that's changing is that we have this kind of duplication of our cache. So any questions on this? Okay. So let's go through an access example. Particularly, let's look at the same example, and let's look at how we would have dealt with that conflict miss. So we first, we have our tag bit. We pull in our value, we go to memory. It's empty, so we set our val bit to 1. We set our tag to the address of interest. And we pull in our memory addresses that correspond to all of the star values for our offset. So this would be 0 and 1. And so it's a cache miss to start off with. The second one is going to be a cache hit, as we because we already have that value in memory. And the third one is going to be at set 1, which is here, val of bit 0, so it's a cache miss. And we're going to pull in the tag, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. And we're going to pull in everything that's associated with it. So in this case, 62 and 63. Mem at 62 and mem at 63. And so the next one is going to be where we're accessing 61. And so 61 gets mapped to this location. And so now we have a unique thing. So we looked at the cache. The first one, there was something mapped. So normally in our previous approach, we'd simply replace it. But here, we have an extra set. So we can simply set the tags to be 1, 0, 0, 0, 0. And then set the values for 60 and 61 for our mem values. And so this is going to be a cache miss, but we still got to save that data in our cache. Still got to save it in the next way. It's like, go over to the bookshelf, that book slot's full, pop over to the next one, drop it in. And so when we access 62, it's going to be at index 1. We look at the tags, they match, great. So we can look at the offset. We know it's going to be the first one in the block, so this is going to be cache hit. Whoops. Oh, I didn't scroll down past that, so cache hit. And so last time, this was a cache miss because we had to do the replacement, but because we added this extra associative way, when we go in, we look at our tags for both. The tag for this one matches, and the val of it's 1, so we know it's a cache hit, and it's at index 0, so this is going to be a hit this time and not a miss, which is great. And so for the last one, we have 64. And so this is going to be at index 0, which is here. And none of the tags match, therefore now we're in a predicament. We're going to have to replace one of these. And so we'll look at replacement strategies, particularly we'll look at least recently used in the next couple of slides. But the key idea here is, even though you add more ways, it's still possible, unless you have infinite number of ways, which would be very expensive and difficult to build, impossible to build, you wouldn't, you're still going to have conflict misses. And so for 64, this is going to be a miss, and so we need to select which block to replace. And so there are a couple strategies for doing block replacement. One of these strategies is called least recently used. And so we look for which block we've least recently accessed, and then we kick that one out. So any questions on this?
So this is just one cache, but conceptually you kind of think of it as like two caches that are still faster than access memory, and it's not one. You just check that
out. So the time to access this cache is still the same because we, as the direct map approach, because we're accessing both locations in parallel.
Okay.
So let's look at an example of accessing this particular cache. So that was a good question. And so here we have some index value. And so the index value tells us where to go in the particular cache. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so this value is 4. I should have started from 0, so this would correspond to the fifth index, or index number 4 in the cache. And then we can look for, we can have a demux here that will activate all of our lines, we'll activate the correct line, so we'll activate this line, and then we can read out the tag bits from this line, and we can say, oh, do those tag bits match from the tag bits that we're reading out? And if they match and the bit's valid, then we have a hit. So this would come down here. And so we have this OR for hits. And we could do the same thing for the second block. And so we look at the valid bit and the tag. In this case, it doesn't match. So since the tag and the valid bit don't match, this is going to be a 0. But our hit, or this is going to be a 1 here. But our hit value is going to be 1 because we had a hit in the previous cache value. So our hit's 1. So now we need to determine which one of the data blocks we pass to our final mux that's going to do the selection based on the offset. And so, wait, this is kind of here. This is clearer, I think. So I could draw on this. And so if this value is 1, we'll select our second line from our mux. And this will then will go to our third mux that will then select the offset value. So 0 and 1. And so in this case, we'll select byte 1, which is going to correspond to B5. And so with a simple bit of logic and some extra associative, some extra ways, we can have really kind of simple strategies for dealing with these conflict misses. And so here's kind of a picture of those final mux values for reading that data. And so let's look at some of these examples in detail. And so there's some possibilities when you do an associative lookup. The first one is that none of the blocks are valid. So that's where we go through and we look at our tag bits and none of them match. So that's a possible option. That means it doesn't always have to be that there's data in the cache. None of the valid blocks for a particular index match. So if we go to a particular index, even though we might have all these tags, none of them might match. And then only for, sorry. And so we never have an opportunity where in our particular setup where both tags would match. So if we had something where the tag value here was 1, 1, that's not possible because that would have already hashed to this location. So you'll never have a condition in which your tag values or you have matches in both lines. And so the idea with, there's kind of some terminology. So a direct map cache is where you have one block per set. E-way associativity is where you have E blocks per set. 0 through E. And then fully associative is where you have one set and then only blocks in that particular offset. So everything still stays the same except how we calculate our cache capacity size. So our cache capacity size now is going to be the number of blocks times the number of sets that we have times the number of ways. And so this extra ways, these extra associative sets increase our cache size. So let's go through, let's look at this example. So here's a sample desktop with different cache sizes. There's an L1 cache, an L2 cache, and an L3 cache. And here are the block sizes for, or the cache sizes for each with the number of blocks and sets. And so in this case, this is 8 blocks and 8 sets, 4 blocks and 4 sets, 16 blocks, oh, sorry, the cache size is 32 kilobytes, they're 8 byte blocks, 8 sets, and 64 kilobyte blocks for each. Is that not right?
There are 8 blocks per set.
8 blocks per set, sorry.
And the slide doesn't tell you how many sets there are.
Okay. Yeah. It's a burn. Okay. Sorry about that. Ugh. Okay. Yeah, so the total cache size is 32 kilobytes, and there's 8 blocks per set. Is that how you wrote it?
Yes.
Okay.
Eight ways.
So there are 8 ways. Okay, 8 ways. And then each block size is 64 kilobytes, or 64 bytes. And the idea is to figure out how many sets are in each level. So. Yeah, so each way, there are 8 ways, and each block size for that way is 64 bytes. And so the idea is to figure out how many sets there are in the total cache to make up 32 bytes. Fail. So why don't you guys take some time and try and do that, and then we'll work through that exercise. So we'll say 5 minutes. And then we'll step through it.
Kilobyte is 2 to the 10.
Kilobyte is 2 to the 10th. So just as a heads up, kilobyte is 2 to the 10th. So this would be 32 times 2 to the 10th. And then you can break down what 32 is. Let's do one more minute and then we'll come together. Okay. All right, let's work through this exercise. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. Is this on?
No.
Okay, is this on now? Yeah? I'm gonna just have to project because the battery's dead on this thing. Oh wait, here we go. Okay. All right. Disaster averted. Okay, so our block size is 64 bytes, and so we need to calculate the number of bits that are going to be that we can use to index into our cache. And so we can do log base 64 of log 2 base 64. Thank you. Of to determine the number of bytes that are there. So it's like, what's the value of 2 to b that gets us that? And so in this case, it's 6. So our value for b is going to be 6. So our offset bits for this particular cache is going to be 6. And then the next thing that we look at is the number of sets or ways. Clearer here. Ways, and so here we're going to have for 32 kilobytes is going to be our block sets, which is our block size, which is 64 bytes. Well, actually, yeah, just get on here. So it's going to be, or the number of sets that we're going to have is going to be C divided by our number of blocks times the number of ways that we have. And so this is going to be 64 times E, which is 8. And our cache capacity here is 32. And so this will be 32 over 64 times 8. And this is 32 kilobytes. And our block size is 64 bytes. And so 8. And so this would be 32 times 2 to the 10. And so this works out to be 64 sets for L1 cache. And I'll just kind of explicitly go through this. So this would be 32 times 2 to the 10th, because it's kilobytes, 2 to the 10th. 32 is going to be 2 times 2 to the 1 is 2, 2 to the 2 is 4, 2 to the 3 is 8, 2 to the 4th, 16, 2 to the 5th is 32, and so this is 2 to the 5th times 2 to the 10th divided by 64, which is going to be 2 to the 6th times 2 to the 3rd. And so this is going to be 2 to the 15th over 2 to the 9th, which is going to be 2 to the 6th. Whoops. Ah. Things on the side is just a pain. Which is going to just going to be 2 to... which is going to be 2 to the 6th, which is 64. So 64 number of sets in the block. So that's our final thing. And so then the number of set bits is just going to be log base 264, which is going to be 6. So for the memory address, 6 bits are going to be dedicated to the block. For the offset, 6 bits are going to be dedicated to the sets, and then the remaining bits are the tags. And it's a 64-bit machine. Is your machine a 64-bit machine, Charles? Yeah, so it's going to be 12 minus 64, which would be the remainder of 2, so 52 tag bits. Okay. So tag bits the rest. And so then you can go through the calculation for the L1 and L2 and L3 caches. And so we'll see it's very similar. Okay, so we'll call it quits here and then pick it up next time. Cool.
That's a lot worse than the morning. be walking